I'll think about that one for a few
minutes. Is that anything like housekeeping? Amended, amended last session has had to be incorporated in this one, so it is not identical in sure. language. Look that. I'm also looking for the lawyer's edge.
The lawyer's edge.
Yeah. So it's substantially similar.
I see.
Well, I was just going to ask for that.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question? I don't think Kathleen's the proper person. It's an administrative question.
Representative Zaytan, please.
I don't see... Terry, maybe you can answer it. It deals with the amendments with the Department of Energy, where they're going to make the rules, and then the rules will implement the question of the governor assuming control in case of a nuclear accident. In the rest of the bill, specifically looking at page 7, section 23, it says the administrator, meaning the administrator of the emergency management department, shall appoint a rescue coordinator and do the following things. It looks to me like we're saying if it's a nuclear accident, the governor takes control of a lot of those things. If it's not nuclear, you take control. Is that basically true?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody know?
That's what Bill says.
You know, like, not
what?
Would
one of you like those thoughts on that,
Jeff? Yeah, I just want to clarify if that's
okay.
That's what.
Myra, would you come up, please? Identify yourself, Ken, for the record.
Myra Lee from Multnomah County.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The appointment of the search and rescue coordinator is to take care of those types of operations that occur throughout the year of lost hunters and that type of thing.
Uh-huh.
The amendment relating to the director or the governor's powers during a radiation accident is specifically for radiation incidents, whether they're at Trojan or transportation accidents on the highway.
And that's a policy question that we're giving the governor the powers in that one case. Is that the only case?
Or
you know, I see it through various points here. The governor shall take charge of at various types of...
That's the only place he specifically has those powers.
That the governor has those
powers. The governor has those powers.
Okay.
He'd probably just soon not have them there.
I certainly don't know enough about emergency planning to know whether that's good or bad, but that is certainly a decision that the groups involved think that that's the appropriate thing to do. It's the most serious kind of accident, I assume, and that's why the governor is being placed in control.
Yes. We've tried in every instance to have checks and balances throughout the system with governor's involvement and local and state involvement. And that is one which that currently is language that exists on a broader basis, but it's here it's in relation only to the radiation accidents in the amendment.
Mm-hmm. Fred Purse, if I may, under Section 5 on page 3, it talks again about during an emergency the government shall have a number of different powers,
mm-hmm.
and he currently has under the statutes as well. So. The governor can assume a number of powers.
Right.
He has police powers that he can assume in a variety of ways. But because of the nuclear issues surrounding the Department of Energy, they wanted it spelled out a little more clearly, and that's the reason it was done in that manner.
Okay.
But the governor, the director, the administrator also works directly for the governor and has that line of authority as well. In the department of or in the emergency management department.
It very quickly goes beyond being a local problem to one
sure
that would affect a very large population.
Sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a policy decision, and you all agree
it's
that certain types of accidents, that's perfectly...
That too.
Thank you very much.
Further questions? Thank you very much. Paul Burkett, where were you at? Okay, we've accepted your amendments. Did you want to say any more?
I may say nothing further.
Thank you very much. Joe Andrus.
Chairperson, members of the committee. I'm Joe Andrus.
I'm the emergency manager for the city of Portland. Today I'm here as the president of the Oregon Emergency Services Association, which is comprised of emergency managers and directors throughout the state who unanimously support this. And that's all I have to say.
Any questions?
Here for questions.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak on House Bill 2977?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
I would move House Bill 2977 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We are in work session. I accept the motion. Representative Campbell moves House Bill 2977 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any further discussion? If not, clerk call the roll.
Representative Gilmore?
Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Kiprek?
Aye.
Zajan?
Aye.
Gamel?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye. House Bill 2977 has passed to the floor. Due pass, I'll carry it on the floor.
You won't hold that.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you all. We will, let me see what my
schedule. How about 125?
That's
not
a little bit myself.
That's going to happen. I've been running the wrong way with that.
Okay, there's someone who's been waiting for 2940, and that was...
We haven't got a report from the boiler, have we? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong bill. I apologize.
Okay. We will now see House Bill 2940. Paula Balmes. See here? Oh, couldn't see her back there.
I'm going to do all your bills for you today.
I have the same.
And then we're going to go to the floor before...
Shipwreck, you got your...
go ahead.
For the information of the committee members, I have requested that Paula be present today as she has worked on this bill quite a bit and helped me with the amendments to it.
Which one are we looking at?
2940.
Well, I know that, but I've got three different anagrams.
Hand engrossed by staff,
511.
Okay, thank you very much for the clarification. Some of us senior members get a little senile.
Just grumpy representative Gilmore.
Grumpy and senile.
We've already agreed on that. You and I have discussed it many times.
We haven't taken a vote on, but we'll just accept the
incomplete.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm wearing two hats today, as most of you probably know. Only on one head, though. Most of you probably know that I'm executive assistant to the director of the Department of Commerce. And I got involved in this, in my role, since the Department of Commerce has so many agencies that come under sunset. But I'm also a board member of Common Cause. And so as a personal involvement in seeing that sunset works, I have been involved in helping to rewrite the amendments. I was present at the committee's last meeting and heard the committee's concerns with the redundant wording, and I did my best to work with Diane to try to get that straightened out and meet your concerns. I think the primary concern was the redundancy, and if you like, I can go through that with you. On page 3, as I recall, Representative Schoon was concerned because we were talking about how the committee would review the agency and hold a public hearing, and same or similar wording occurred on the next page. Mm-hmm. So we have attempted to take care of that by scratching out quite a bit and rewording it so that it would simply say that it would be reviewed in accordance with the ORS, which follows.
Good. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
The way the language is now, it would allow the committee, or would be the committee to review in accordance with ORS 182625. And then the committee would take the same action as any other substantive committee to pass that legislation onto the floor.
I believe that was the intent.
Well, I recognize that that's the intent. My question is that the way the wording here now will apply?
I think it is. That was the way I wrote it, that way, with the idea that...
Did you work with counsel on this?
Committee, Diane, I passed on to Diane, and I'm not sure whether she did or not.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Campbell.
Diane, has counsel gone over the amendments?
Yes, they have.
They have, and,
yes.
And basically the intent that we had, the intent was that we would review the sunset materials, and we would refer it then to the floor in the same manner we would any other legislation.
Right.
Is counsel assured us that that is the way that the language is written now?
I hope so. That would be intense, anyway.
If you would, Mr. Chairman, Representative Campbell, if you turn to the last page, which is now page number
five,
section 5 says an agency may be established, continued, or reestablished. That's the wording that we had originally in this amended bill. And so that would allow the committee to take that action or not at its option. Would that address the concerns that you're expressing?
Yes, it did. Is Representative Otto's amendments included in this?
Page 4B.
4B.
Mr. Chairman, I met with Representative Otto, and we had some conversations about this, and I drafted some language and sent it over to him to see if he would approve of it, but I've not had an opportunity to talk with him and find out whether he does.
I do.
Oh, I love Eve. I love Eve.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, my concern was that the language may, the original language, may cause a problem for apprenticeship programs from the standpoint that someone may say that, well, we're not allowing enough apprentices into the various programs. And they try to foul up the system. So I did contact Danny Fattis, who is the director of Metro Training, which is the electrical apprenticeship program in the Portland metropolitan area. And Danny did come down, and I sent him to Kathleen, and they went ahead and they worked out this language.
Are you
this
satisfied?
Language is acceptable to the electrical industry and to me.
Mr. Chairman?
So I'm satisfied.
Representative Campbell?
I just wonder if there are any more questions or comments. If not, I'd like to move the amendments.
Is there any further discussion?
I have a question.
Representative Sejong?
Page 5, very last section 5. An agency may be established, continued, or reestablished by the legislature for a period not to exceed 8 years. Does that mean, in your view, that the legislature would not have the ability to establish an agency without putting an eight-year or less sunset clause on it?
Not to exceed 8 years. You can put the sunset clause on for 6 or 5 or 3.
Right.
And in fact, we have adjusted those.
But what I'm saying is that we create agencies that don't automatically sunset them. This would force us to sunset everything.
Everything that's included in here, specifically identified.
Which is quite a bit.
Did you think any more about my question last time, what is the definition of an agency?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
Not really, but we've got it identified agency by agency of those that are under the sunset provision. And I would think that we would be willing to consider the inclusion, either now or in the future, of anything that you'd like to identify as an agency. But I think it would be, I really think it would be debatable as far as specifying specifics. We haven't done that in this legislation.
Mr. Chairman, if you look on page 1, the first page of the bill, line 14, as used in ORS 182605 to 182635, agency means.
Yeah, but that's,
and then it goes and gives this whole long list, and then at the very end of the list, as we have amended it, it says, any other board, commission, or program created or proposed to be created by the Legislative Assembly after the effective date of this act to regulate any profession, occupation, or activity.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty all-inclusive.
It's, when
it's
you say
not a definition.
Or activity, I listed an example last time. Or activity means almost anything, and I ask whether or not an advisory group would do that.
Um,
And I think the answer is yes.
Yes.
Which means that any issue would be put into the Sunset Committee, but because so many other legislative committees review substantive questions, I think that there will be a lot of subsequent referrals added on to new bills. And it could lengthen. Okay. Well, I just want to make sure the sponsors are aware of that issue. You know, it doesn't appear like that's a concern to you, but eight years ago, and one of the reform packages of the legislature was inordinate use of substantive referrals. It became very irritating to a lot of legislators.
Started in 1973.
Maybe it did.
With the Democratic takeover of the legislative body. Sorry to say. From my perspective, I would agree.
But don't you remember that became quite a discussion? That's not a healthy thing to do.
Added about a month to the session.
Yes. Because there were so many reviews, so many overlaps of who was looking at what. And you know, I'm going to vote for the bill, but I just thought maybe if you could see any way to deal with that question, because I think that it's a...
Session's no better than the Speaker and the President.
Mm-hmm. I won't disagree with that. Okay, I won't take any more time.
For the questions.
I have a question.
Representative Otto.
In the Sunset Review process, I can't point specifically, but I think you know what I'm getting at. Oftentimes, we just review a portion of an agency or a department. And if I remember correctly, the plumbers were an example of that in the last session. But the way this language is written now, are we reviewing the whole agency or department, or are we just reviewing a portion of it? Now, the issue last time was, Electrical Licensing Board. And we zeroed in pretty much on the Electrical Advisory Board without looking at all the other aspects. Now, is this piecemeal or all in one or what?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Otto, I think I see some difficulty with the words or activity. And let me tell you the reason I included that when it wasn't in the previous law. In the Department of Commerce, as you know, we have debt collection, debt consolidators and collection agencies, which are not under boards. They're programs which are administered by the department, which would come under Sunset, and we think should. And I couldn't think of any way to get it in since it didn't fit into any of these other things, and I thought activity might be a way to do it. I would certainly welcome any other kind of wording that would get at that particular kind of agency if you feel that activity is too broad.
You see the point I'm getting at?
I do. We're talking about regulating about boards, commissions, or programs regulating professions or occupations. And we have proposed to add activity in order to catch some of those things in the net that were intended to be caught. If by adding activity we've made it too broad and you feel that we would be better off without it, I think it would be acceptable to us to leave it out, but we would be concerned about catching programs that do regulate occupations.
Representative Campbell, do you have a problem with this discussion?
Well, I see what Representative Otto was talking about, and I guess that the intention, and maybe it's difficult to identify specifically by using the term activity, but I really want it fairly all-inclusive. In fact, I would like to eventually see us do one of two things. Either go with Representative Otto's initial bill, which eliminates Sunset, or actually have the legislative process include all departments of government. And, you know, that's a far piece from where we are here. But I think that I have seen some good things happen as a result of Sunset. I've seen some things that didn't happen, too, but I've seen some good things as a result of Sunset. I really would like to see us get into some real meaty areas. And I guess that your concern is more important when you think about getting into a department like DEQ. I don't think we could take the whole elephant. I think we'd have to take it a piece at a time. And so your point's well made.
Well, as you know, I have not been at all satisfied with the concept of sunset review. And I'm also, I may be politically naive, but I'm not that naive to think that we can do away with it in this session of the legislature. So I will go with 2940, and I hope the people that are listening convey my feelings to the Senate if this bill passes out of this committee into the House. If there's going to be very much tinkering with this bill, like providing for interim committees to do the sunset review process, then I'm a no vote on concurrence to Senate amendments.
So I would join you, Representative Otto.
You'll have a lot of comfort.
I think that you'll find almost everyone in this committee that feels that way. So it may be something that I don't think we're trying to threaten anyone. We just let them know our feelings.
Instead, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I wouldn't say that I wasn't trying to threaten.
I'm trying to be nice.
Tell it like it is.
Any further questions?
Well, I guess I go back to the question of the appeal of the activity.
Did you want to say something on this bill?
Could I explain something?
Please, if you'll hold on, Representative.
Interrupting me?
I apologize. these bureaucrats got us going, anyway.
Mr. Chairman, Alan Green from Lead Study Research. I think I can respond to Representative Otto's question. And that is that under the sunset law, those sections of the law that are subject to repeal are specified in the law. This bill adds a number of agencies to sunset and specifies those sections. As I read it, I don't believe any other agency or activity would be subject to sunset unless the Assembly took the affirmative action of putting a date in. Mm-hmm. I tend to concur with your concerns, Representative Zajon, I'm nervous about the word activity. But I don't believe that a new program would be subject to sunset unless you put a sunset date on the program itself, because there would be no expiration date otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I read 47 as an intent statement saying that you should put an expiration date on, but it wouldn't require you to do so.
Right.
So with regard to the old plumber board, nothing has changed in what this does, as I read it.
Representative Gilmore.
Following up a little bit of what you said, Congress does this to virtually, United States Congress does this to absolutely everything they pass.
Cool.
It doesn't go on forever. Most everything, and I think that's one of the mistakes we make when we pass lots of laws here in the legislature. Laws mm-hmm. that we don't put at a date certain that stops and we review it. Because lots of the laws we have on the books right now stay on there just because they're on there. No other reason. But if they would have been put this is good for 10 years.
If I could just give another side to that, because I agree with you, or agreed with you. My bias that has developed is that what comes out of sunset is usually a strengthening of the regulation,
yes,
and more addition to it. So I would anticipate
full crew bill.
Exactly. What I would anticipate in 6 to 8 years is that we would have so much work for one committee that you'd have to have two committees to deal with all this that we're creating, and that it will lengthen absolutely everything, and it will increase regulation. But that's just what I have observed about. It is the full Lobby Employment Act.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Campbell.
The only thing that's going to make it the Lobby Full Employment Act is if we create a lot of new government agencies. Today, this committee deals with every agency that is up for sunset. We have a related group in the Senate that deals with every group that's up for sunset.
Mm-hmm.
We have a related group in the interim that deals with every group that's up for sunset. just the hours spent by state employees in supporting their jobs is now going to be focused into one committee.
And that's the best part of the bill, and that's why I'm going to vote for it. You're just hearing my inherent suspicion about the process that legislators, and I'm part of it too, that usually add to rather than subtract from the regulation. Okay, that part's the excellent part of it.
It is a way that we can cut down on our in-state expert witness cost, too.
How about out-of-state?
Well, what do you have in mind?
Bubba.
We haven't paid for any witnesses for this committee, have we?
No.
Okay. Well, there's two sitting up there that are on state payrolls that would be doing something else if they weren't sitting here. And they're expert witnesses.
That's true.
So we didn't file in from out of state.
I said in state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
said. Any further, Chairman?
Representative Otto.
Representative Sajon, were you implying that passage of this legislation may tend to grow and grow and expand? Are you implying that the possibility is there?
I have, yes.
You are?
Believe that, in my observation of the sunset process, that if you believe in the rules of bureaucracy, mm-hmm. and I could recite a few of them, but basically it's increased reliance on justification of the current system, that's about the number one rule, then you have inherent cynicism about whether or not this kind of law will really ever do anything.
Well,
but I don't want that.
I guess my reply, Representative Sajon, is that I'm happy to see that a member of the minority party is the sponsor of House Bill 2940, which may expand the role of government in the future.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
I'd like to respond to that, if I might.
Representative Cavill?
If the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate appoint this as a Republican task force, there won't be many sunrises. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the amendments as identified to LCHB 2940-1, dated 5/11/83.
Only a bureaucrat reads.
Representative right. Campbell moves the amendments to House Bill 2940, Cannon Gross by staff 5/11/83. Any discussion? Is there any opposition? Stances.
Mr. Chairman.
excuse me.
Representative Campbell?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move House Bill 2940 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and ask that it be printed and engrossed.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, first of all.
Representative Shipwreck.
Yeah. What we've just talked about. And we all have some concerns about this concept, and I don't mean to say this jokingly at all, but I'm wondering if we wouldn't be smart to put a sunset clause on this piece of legislation. 4 years from now, take a look at what we've created. Go back to Representative Otto's idea, or something else.
You're saying sunset the whole sunset process
sunset.
In 1987 like we do kindergartens. Oh, except they're not sunsetted. They're
no.
created.
No.
Sunrise.
You got that back.
They're sunrise, aren't they?
You know, actually, I would tend to agree with the notion of Representative Shipwreck and I'd like to open that for a discussion.
Well, there's a motion.
I know that. That's why I'm looking
May
at
I
you.
Make a, Representative Campbell?
A comment. Representative Otto made, I think, an important point, and that is that if they screw around much with this bill on the other side, it's going to have trouble when it gets back here. But I'll tell you that one thing that they will really take exception to, they're going to take exception to the lack of interim. I think we can be successful with that. But I really believe that if we send it over there with a sunset in it, sunsetting sunset, that they will very definitely take exception to that. And we know who we're dealing with. We're fighting one battle just to get rid of the interim committee. And I would like to see us do that. I have no problem at all taking the question of sunsetting sunset on if this doesn't work.
I think we send them two bargaining chips.
I think we
might be able to bargain with one of them, though.
Let them take that out.
Yeah. I would amend his motion. with the concept that on the last section that we sunset this whole idea at whatever time you want to do it, Bob.
October 1st, 1987.
Okay. I don't know why you
said that. Campbell, would you accept that as a friendly amendment to...
No, sir. Absolutely not. I should say I won't. I wonder if the sponsors would like to speak to that amendment. Okay. Do they agree with it?
Mr. Chairman, the one thing that Alan Green... excuse me, Pam Ferrara, Director of Common Cause. Alan Green just pointed out to me that the one effect that would have is that three of the agencies that we included on... in the amendments to the bill would never be sunsetted, but just to point out to you that that would have that effect.
You can change your date.
January 1, 1988.
When's the last one come up? Let's do it right after that. Well,
1992.
I'm not prompting you, but when's the last date on that?
Let's see.
We agree that it'll have needed.
June 30th, 1988, I think is the last.
88?
Yeah, let it go through the whole next session. No.
Well, I understand what he, I understand what you're talking about. Maybe this motion won't pass, but
I'm sure it will.
When's the date?
Mr. Chairman, Pam Ferrara, Common Cause. The last date.
Mary Harrison, I've been on the legislative committee and I'm education chairman for our state association. I don't know, the vote was taken, the vote was 3-4. I can't answer to why they did not pass the amendment.
It's my understanding that the dental board would be up for sunset review next session of the legislature.
Yes.
And we passed legislation today dealing with sunset review. And if that legislation is successful and works its way through the system and is signed by the governor, then there would not be an interim study on these various agencies that are to be sunsetted. But there would be a full standing committee, a statutory committee. A joint committee that would go ahead and look at this issue in 1985. Now, the legislature is reluctant, very reluctant, to create any new licensed professions. Mm-hmm. We have several bills in, one dealing with carpenters this time, and there's quite a few other. Locksmiths was going. We do have quite a few other professional groups that would like to be licensed. And virtually what we have done, we have said no. And I guess your best chance of getting into the system would be under sunset review in the 1985 session of the legislature, when the whole program would be up for sunset review, and the opportunity to make your case would be much better then than now.
Being placed in or under the statutes,
right,
in that part mm-hmm. of the bill.
Right. Yeah. And I think what would happen if we were to include you folks into this legislation of 125, it would mean the defeat of the bill, or over on the Senate side, maybe here on the House side, the votes wouldn't be here to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's just, I think, the opinion of the legislature at this time.
Well, our concern is that we have been represented on different committees and different times and have not been heard as an association as far as a baseline or a standardization of education for those dental assistants that do expanded duties. And we're not speaking to any dental assistant other than those that would be doing the expanded duties. And I have testimony in here, and I know you're short for time, so I wouldn't read my testimony since I'm able to answer these questions. But
I have to agree with Representative Otto. This went to Conference Committee. It would be taken out anyway. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee pretty much guarantee that, because I also understand the feelings. I think the bill is important enough to bring that your concerns up when this bill, or this sun sets in 2 years. It's got to come up before this, and at that time you rework the whole thing, and I think that's your best opportunity, sincerely, because we've got something I think will it's already passed the Senate, that will pass the House, and we'll have something anyway to work for or work with until 1985.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Campbell.
The other thing, have you folks approached the dental board?
Yes, we have.
Yes.
Have they been cooperative in sitting down and talking to you about the various aspects of your concerns?
Well, they're in a neutral position right now. The last piece of legislation that was brought was 2 years ago, and it was a bill that they submitted.
The reason I ask that is because I think they would be a very important ally for you as you bring this before a sunset committee. And I would suggest that you continue your work with them and your negotiation with them.
Well, Representative,
for assistance.
Yeah, Representative Campbell, it isn't that we've tried. We have been misquoted, misrepresented, misunderstood, and we really feel that we need to just go on record with our policy statement and our position. There are people on the Board of Dental Examiners who are very much in favor of what we're trying to do, and they stand behind us, as they have done in the past, but because of political pressures, they're not in a position to take a stand. They have to remain neutral.
I think you'll find that if this comes up for sunset review and your concerns are identified and the indications are that there's been no cooperation, that will have a positive effect on your case.
Well, we hope so.
I guess that my message isn't just for you. It's kind of going over your head to the rows behind you. And I think they acknowledge that there is a reason to sit down and discuss it.
Board is on record.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Dejan.
I want to get to what you said in just a second, but on your 2 points, Mary, about expanded duties, diagnostic impressions, and taking a cement removal from orthodontic bands.
Yes.
Are you hoping that there's a certification process for those two, for expanded duties? You're not asking for complete certification for all dental assistants?
No, there is a test that dental assistants have to pass now that gives them a certificate to perform expanded duties. Those are two of the expanded duties.
Those are two.
What we are asking for is, say, a base level of education in order to qualify to take or to perform these expanded duties or to take that exam to do expanded duties.
Okay. Could you just then tell us what you just said about this summer and rules?
Representative Sage,
if you would identify yourself again, one of you.
For the record, my name is Bill Radoklich, member of the board of dental examiners. Ed McClone, our investigator, has been authorized by the board this summer to prepare rules governing the education of dental assistants. We'll be working with the component societies, such as the orthodontists, the oral surgeons, and try to come up with education requirements that are needed in the various functions of dental assistants, and we'll have rules promulgated before our fall.
Mary, do you have any response to that?
Yes, I do. I have a definite concern for that. We have been working and have stated our concern about a level of competency for dental assistants for 12 years. At one time, in the rules and regulations, there was a 2-year on-the-job training before a dental assistant could qualify to do some duties. Because of a call hearing that was reduced to 1 year, and we are concerned when it's in the rules and regulations that it can be changed so easily that anything that is in there can be changed with just a hearing, and that's why we've been working towards a standardization, and we've been working with everyone for 12 years, and it hasn't happened yet, and we're very concerned about this. We're concerned about the exposure of x-ray to patients from the girls who are taking x-rays during their trial period or before they pass their final examination. There are different procedures as stated that we feel are dangerous.
So Mary, you want legislation rather than rules, which
yes.
come and go.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Well, I tend to agree with the rest of the members of the committee, primarily because I think that any medical profession suffers from lack of understanding of that profession here at the legislature. And it's only normal, I'm sure you understand. But I think that's the observation. And one of the good things about the sunset review process is it's really lengthy hearings where people really do get a chance to be educated. Also, because the experience that you all just put on the record, if something goes astray there, I think you have a better chance. But you're talking specifically about the expanded duties, and you're real concerned about education for the expanded duties.
Only, yes.
Well, I think that's legitimate.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for coming.
Representative.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you want to say something, Representative Campbell?
I'd like to move the bill as soon as you're ready, Mr. Chairman.
I don't believe there's anyone else who wishes to give testimony. I'd accept your motion, Representative Campbell.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate Bill 125, as amended, be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Campbell moves Senate Bill 125 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Shiprack?
Aye.
Stajan?
Aye.
Campbell?
Aye.
Gilmore?
No. Aye.
Otto?
Aye.
Roberts?
Aye. You're on. Bill passes to the floor.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Campbell.
Here's the floor session. I move we adjourn.
Well, let's have a vote on it.
Who's up? Call rolls is as to whether they want to adjourn. Some of these people want to get to the floor.
Representative Zajan?
Yeah. Yes.
Campbell?
Aye.
Gilmore?
Aye.
Otto?
No.
Shiprack?
No.
Roberts?
No.
Fail.
Motion fails.
That's the way it goes.
We will take up the last bill. House Bill 2967. Excuse me, I've got to sign Senate Bill 125. Representative Gilmore, would you carry 125?
No.
Sure you will.
If it's on Monday, the 18th morning, because that's when I'm going to get my caps. I'll carry it. I probably had $2,000 worth of dental work last month anyway.
Tony Conan. Tony's the only one that's signed up so far.
I got a question. Can I ask Representative Shiprack if his amendments having to do with the putting usury back in the state of Oregon, are they prepared yet?
I wouldn't conceptually.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Anthony J. Conan. I'm here representing the Oregon Life Underwriters Association. For those of you who are not familiar with our association, we're about 1,300 to 1,400 strong of approximately 1,400 people throughout the state with 14 locals. We would like to air our comments, our concerns about House Bill 2967, because we would like to say we're not in favor of this and would like to encourage you not to pass this. The reason for this is, on the surface, would look to be, I believe I've heard the word talked about, turf fighting. In other words, it would have the air maybe of the banks getting in the insurance business or the insurance getting in the banking business and so on and so forth. I don't really believe that's the issue at all with this bill, because this bill does is exempt salaried people working for lending institutions, banking institutions, etc., from licensing and the qualifications that our statutes are set up to require anybody who handles these types of products and services and recommendations to the public that they be licensed on record so that they can be regulated, and that they can also, because of our continuation requirements, be knowledgeable about the particular products that they're dealing with the public.
I don't see any problem at all if the institutions wish to use these types of contracts. I think that's a totally different issue. It has nothing to do with this area. This simply exempts them, in my opinion, from licensing under the insurance code, which in my opinion also would relieve them of any responsibilities or regulations under the insurance code. I don't believe that makes a lot of sense. When you have, if I may say, the professional people in this business handling these kinds of products are required to be licensed, maintain a continuing education program to try to be more professional in helping the clients, that this type of an exemption is going to help the public. I believe it's a reverse type tactics. Annuities are not simply certificates of deposits. Those are contracts, and those contracts have varying provisions which are very important to people's finances. I think you all know that in the advent of IRAs, there is a tremendous amount of money that are going into institutions of savings, be they insurance companies or savings and loans or whatever, primarily in this area because of IRA. So we're talking not just about a nominal situation, but a major impact, in my opinion, on people's finances. And I do believe it's important that those people are counseled or by people who, one, can be held responsible for their recommendations, and that the insurance commissioner's department be able to regulate them. I think this area has been addressed, or the annuity area that is being handled by banks and savings and loans in the past has been referred to, this is a bit of a sideline, as wraparound annuities. And wraparound annuities have been in and out of all types of regulatory problems, have been disallowed, to my recall, at least 2 to 3 times in the last 15 years. And again, if I may say, it's not really a question of turf fighting. We're talking about an exemption request, which doesn't make any sense. Because if you wish to be in the business, or if you wish to do these things, then I think you should be qualified, as you, the legislature, and everybody else in Oregon understands that a person who sells these types of products is licensed and comes under the code. And we suggest that it remain that way and that this not be carried forth. I'll be happy to try to answer any questions.
Questions, Mr. Chairman. Representative Campbell.
Well, as the chief sponsor of this bill, I have been lobbied heavily on both sides.
I bet you have.
One of the questions that has been raised, and the reason the bill was originally introduced, is that evidently there was a rule that was being followed in the insurance commissioner's office. And the interpretation of that rule was changed by the present insurance commissioner. And as a result of that interpretation, basically the rule that had been used for some time and interpreted in a different manner, which I've been told does exactly what this bill does, changed the ground rules. So basically they tell me the ground rules were that this type of activity could be handled by savings and loans and banks up until the time the insurance commissioner revoked the definition of the rule. At that point in time, the insurance companies, at least to my understanding, had not objected to the activity, nor had the activity been counterproductive for the insurance companies, nor had there been any indication that there was anyone, the consumer, suffering from the fact that that the applications and so forth were being given to individuals without a licensee doing that particular activity. I wonder if you could comment on that.
You bet. I'll try to, Representative Campbell. I really see two different areas that you pointed out. And one has to do with the latter area of, I believe you were saying that this has been done in the recently and that we haven't really seen any problems. Well, recently, I'd say, is probably true. I don't believe this is something that's been happening for more than a couple of years. the type of annuity that is being marketed today, I think all of you are familiar with the GNA ad that you see on TV. I am not totally familiar with that product and as to how it's being handled. I think this is, again, dealing with, if you want to use the annuity, you know, that's fine. It's just that you ought to be qualified. Now, to your first part of that question, that the commissioner now has changed her position to the point where this bill isn't necessary, I'd say, fine, let's forget the bill. But this bill is no, for a specific thing.
No, I think you misunderstood my comment.
Excuse me.
My comment is if the commissioner had not changed her position, this bill would not have been necessary. But the commissioner basically did change the ground rules, as we understand it. That's what's been explained to me.
Well,
and by changing the ground rules, in order to keep the playing field level and continuing to do what had been available to the banks, the savings and loans, all of this time on a level playing field. In order to keep it level, speaking we need this legislation.
Speaking of the playing field, the audience playing field is
moving around.
What's going on back here?
It's like a chess game. One moves one space, one moves another space.
I will say that...
Would you accept my motion again, Mr. Chairman?
Well, let me say, before you may attempt any motion, that the insurance commissioner is not in town. If you have to have Commissioner Driscoll here for some reason, we would not be able to bring her in until next week.
Well,
she told us.
Maybe the witnesses, all of them out there can handle this. But
is there anyone else that like?
Can I respond to his question?
Yeah, go ahead. While Frank comes up and respond, please.
They're moving around.
The way I understand this process is what happened here is that our current Commissioner Driscoll has interpreting the code as it has been put the way she chooses, and that there were some lending institutions that wished to be licensed via Visa, the association technique.
Is that right?
This has been, I think, something that we, as life underwriters, have felt was never available, an association being licensed.
Association.
An association being able to be licensed. Now, I believe the process, or how this evolved, is the commissioner was asked to get an attorney general's opinion, mm-hmm. and the attorney general says, I don't see anything wrong with that, therefore she issued a license. I still don't quite understand the nature of the problem as it relates to this bill, though. This bill, all it simply says is we want to be exempt from licensing and the requirements of selling the same kind of products that I do.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Campbell,
the lobbyists that shared their views with me merely said we want to get back on that level playing field. We want to return to yesteryear when we could do these things. In other words, before the commissioner took her action. And this bill, you say, doesn't do that?
I don't think so at all, unless I'm missing something. I don't believe that that addresses that at all. Whether or not you can be licensed or not is a totally different issue. This is, we want to be exempt from the rules of licensing and the requirements that the industry has set on themselves, along with the Department of Continuing Education. And I'm saying, if you want to be licensed, that's another issue. You know, if you want to be licensed, that's fine, but play the rules the same way.
Frank, can you... We're having a
Mr. Chairperson, members of the committee, I agree with the previous witness. I'm Frank Brunner with the Oregon Bankers Association. This is not a turf fight. The only question is who needs to be licensed and who is exempt. I direct the committee's attention to line 6 on page 1. Exempt already are employees or representatives of insurers or agents not receiving a commission. On line 8, salaried employees of insurers who solicit, negotiate, or affect insurance only through a licensed agent. On down the page are salaried employees, clerks, people who handle paper. They are exempt. Now, the question of whether a bank or a financial institution can have a savings account annuity is not a question addressed by this bill. This bill addresses who needs a license. Our problem is that we operated under a rule, which Keith Burns is here and can give you blow by blow that rule making authority of 2 or 3 years ago by Commissioner, then Commissioner Rawls, and all of a sudden the rule was rescinded. So we face having to license anyone in the institution who distributes literature. Now, behind all of this, there is a license. We're not selling a product that's illegal. There is a brochure handed out, and it may come from XYZ Company, but they have they are licensed to do business in the state of Oregon. Now, every bank employee, mandatorily, every financial institution, mandatorily, is covered with errors and omissions. And the banker's blanket bond is mandatory on all of these institutions. What we are talking about is equity in the marketplace. Others are exempt, and we've had no problems. We've been exempt from licenses. We've had no problems. All of a sudden now, we've got to license. So these people, these clerks, these, and we don't even have the authority under this bill to solicit. It's only to distribute the material. This is much more narrow than the original bill.
Representative St. John.
Tony, is it correct that 6 months ago, prior to the rescinding of this rule, that lending institutions carried out the provisions of this sub 10. In other words, they advised customers and they sold and they were exempt from the statute.
Licensing.
6 months ago, before the rescinding, is that accurate?
To my understanding, they did not. They were using the wraparound annuity. That was the only kind of a product that I know of that they were ever using.
I think this is the threshold question I'd like for us to get answered. Mm-hmm. Could we please answer that? Because I'm serious.
Representative Sajan, we had employees that were not licensed.
While he's talking.
That were in this. As a matter of fact, it was a surprise to us. And I don't think it really can be described as a rule. I think it was a memorandum of interpretation.
Right. I remember going through that under Senate Bill 17.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Keith, go ahead and answer.
Chairman Roberts, members of the committee, my name is Keith Burns. I represent the Oregon Life Insurers, Inc. They are the people who support this bill. They are really the requesters. I did it as their agent to request the bill. Prior to the rescission, Bulletin 77-1, which was put out by Commissioner Rawls in 1977, because of uneven enforcement, he wanted all of his people to know what the ground rules were. He put that out. Permitted this and much broader, in a much broader area, to be done. All forms of insurance, where you're facilitating the sale, not actually selling, where you make it known it's available, put out the application, they fill it out, and it's sent back to an insurance agent or insurance company. Consumer finance companies were doing it, savings and loans were doing it, banks were doing it, they were all doing it. The commissioner, for unrelated reasons, asked for an attorney general's opinion that addressed a lot of things, and primarily the things that Mr. Cronin brought up were associations were getting into the business and not giving the commissioners back the agent or financing their association. They had something totally unrelated to this for the reason for the request. And you can read almost anything into that opinion you want. Mr. Cronin can find something to support his position, I can find something to support mine. But the insurance commissioner was concerned about licensing anybody in a financial institution. What they were doing at that time were licensing people without examination and without having to have continuing education. The original amendment we came in here with had that they had to have a license, but without examination and without continuing education. The insurance commissioner said she was unsure that she could do that and suggested, I'm not saying she supports this, she suggested that we do it this way, and that's the way we've done it. We didn't try to get out of being licensed. We wanted to be licensed. She feels under that opinion that she may not be able to license us. That's what we're hearing. Now, specifically, prior to the rescission, Bulletin 77-1, Pacific PHA Life Insurance Company, which is the, you heard the president testify on this bill Tuesday, was marketing this very product through Benjamin Franklin Savings and Loan, and there was no problem whatsoever. When the commissioner rescinded that, they said, you know, we got problems. We don't know whether we want to do this under those circumstances. They were very cautious. They pulled back. It's true, these things are being marketed by a Washington insurance company through Benjamin Franklin today. They moved right in and took their place. Now, how they're able to do it, or maybe they're less cautious than my clients are, but they are doing it, and but we didn't feel we should do it until we came down here to have the legislature say specifically they could. Now, it may be because of concern about lawsuits and so forth, but it was being done exactly what they plan on doing. And what they're asking here is something much more narrow than what was being done when that bulletin was in existence.
Thank
it's limited to savings accounts, annuities only.
If I could continue.
Representative Zajon.
Tony, after hearing that rather emphatic answer, what do you say?
My response, I think, is that, frankly, I'm a little surprised. I did not know that the banks and savings and loans were, in fact, selling annuities, except for, quote, called a wraparound annuity. Now, if I can address those specifically, two more things which maybe will shed some light to your concern, Representative Zajon, and that is, what is a savings account annuity?
In other words,
I think that anything can be put into that vernacular, and I believe that if you're going to go for this type of a concept, this exemption, that you better be very specific in terms of what type of a product you're talking about. Because, frankly, there are some products today that are being sold that are life insurance products, life insurance policies that have annuities. And so it can be very mixed up. The second thing I'd like to respond to is on line 6. It says salaried employees of title insurance agents and insurers. That's exactly right, because all they can sell is title insurance. We also have an exemption under our law from the pre-licensing and the continuing education licensing and education requirements for credit life and credit health.
Okay. What you've done is to help me understand the mushiness of which some of these instruments are defined, and that was my second question. My last question, because I know we have to wrap up the session, is there any concern of the word advise on line 8, that the institution advises the customers? Is that a heart of your concern?
Well, yes, it is, because in my opinion, that's why you should be licensed. Okay. And why you should be knowledgeable and know what's going on there, because it does say advise.
Let's get it.
That's advise of availability.
Only of the availability.
You're right. That's
okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Gilmore.
I just have one question in reference with a possible amendment by Representative Shipwreck to Frank. At what level would you think, if this committee was going to pick out of the air, would we establish the percent for the to bring back the usury rate? Around 15 or
Mr.
maybe?
Chairperson, members of the committee, I would believe that the Oregon law ought to pattern the grantor of our laws. We got our laws from England, the body of common law there, and since 1848, usury in England has been 48%, and that would seem to be.
Did he rehearse that?
Is Arkansas 10?
The people of Arkansas adopted the constitutional revision last November, and they're no longer at 10%. Arkansas is now alive.
Mr. Chairman?